mega trends which influence our world at the moment. When it comes to technology, okay, there are 10 most powerful technology which will influence on our next economy. Means more or less will be influenced by this technology. Okay, whether you like it or not, but you will be influenced. So drones, blockchains, big data, AR, VR, 3D printing, and artificial intelligence, robot, IoT, genetics. But if you look around this technology, you can have four different categories. So AI-based intelligent technology, and also data, big data-based data-driven technology, and also IoT-based connected technology. And also, more importantly, the technology we are looking at is AR, VR-based immersive technology, which is more interface technology. I want to look at this platform waves, why we are looking at AR, VR. So if you look at technology development, there are different waves. PC, one time, PC was the dominant for our society. So everybody uses PC. So there are so many companies like Apple, IBM, Hewlett Packard, Microsoft, they emerged because once the PC is becoming main platform. And then it moved to internet, middle of the 1990s. So Facebook, Google, the new companies emerged. And then a mobile became another platform. So I think more or less we are in mobile age at the moment. So some new companies just based on mobile is started, like Samsung or WhatsApp and Uber, this sort of a company. Then what is next platform? So means all the industry, all the people, what kind of platform they're gonna use? And many people predict is virtual reality, augmented reality, or ML is mixed reality. It's gonna be next platform means everybody, majority of people will access this kind of AR, VR technology. I think it is happening now, okay? And the potential of AR, VR application, I think there are two different angles. Consumer side, I think video games, live events, and video entertainment. Another research shows that virtual tourism, so leisure, tourism, and hospitality, this is an industry which many consumers, they want to use AR, VR. But if you look at the different opposite side of the industry perspective, healthcare is number one potential area, obviously engineering for the training people and real estate and retail and military and education. So there are lots of some gap between the what industry are using this AR/VR technology and customer expectation of using AR/VR. Customers want to use more or AR/VR and virtual tourism. Like a destination, want to travel, look at the destination. That's the number one things they want to do it, okay? So what about tourism, hospitality, and cultural heritage sector? That is the main focus of our presentation today, okay? So AR/VR for tourism, as Robert mentioned, augmented reality is a more in-situ, on-site experience. Better technology for on-site experience. Why? Virtual reality, either before you go or after the trip, that is quite a powerful technology, especially in the motivation stage and the planning stage. Virtual reality is powerful. But when you are in destination, augmented reality have a great potential. So there are many examples already in tourism, okay? Like a cruise company, they use virtual reality for selling cruise holiday. Marriott Hotel, they use the virtual reality for people have a look at first and book. And Virgin Atlantic use the first Google Glass and some gallery. And the Thomas Cook, working with Samsung, they tested the virtual reality, whether it increased sales for the six weeks period. And the experiment shows that yes, the virtual reality really help people to buy some more product. Okay, so I think here and there are lots of trials being made, and there are some evidence that there are great potential. Okay, but at the moment, tourism industry, they are still left behind compared to other industry, like healthcare, manufacturing, all these, okay? So one of the great barriers to grow the immersive economy, especially in tourism, is tech ecosystem is not, there are not enough people who have the right skills, and they are not quite enough money to invest this technology, because it requires a lot of resources issues. Okay? So in our hub, since 2013, so it's almost 6 or 7 years, we did a lot of case studies, to overcome, you know, what are the barriers and how we can all overcome those barriers. Okay? So I think Mandy will talk about some of the projects we've been doing for the last 6 years.
Yes, so what we found basically is that especially SMEs really struggle to invest in new technologies just simply because they don't have the resources. So coming from a university, you know, always want to help people, want to do interesting research. So that's what we try to look at, looking really at the SME, cultural heritage and tourism sector. So we started in 2013 looking at augmented reality as part of the cultural heritage trail. And what we normally do as part of our research is we start from user requirements research in the beginning, then actually develop the application together with external or internal developers, and move on to test the prototype and then create final applications. So that's what we did in 2013 in Dublin. Then in 2014, we created a Google Glass application. It was the first in the UK, and it was for an art gallery, and I'll tell a bit more about it later on. Then we created an AR and VR application for a mining site in Cornwall. Moved on to a Jewish museum to create a learning experience on AR. Worked together with Barclays to see, you know, where's the commercial benefit in doing all of this. And yeah, then we had a couple of more studies. Virtual reality, then we did a 360 degree experience in the Lake District. And finally, now we are involved in a box project, which is a multi-sensory experience in Finland. So back in Dublin in 2013, so nobody knew what augmented reality actually was. So we really wanted to test, you know, what's the potential of it. We created a tour. That's the, was it St. Peter's O'Connell Street? And we created a tour using marker-based and GPS-based content. And we really wanted to see, you know, what's working, what isn't working. Tested it using 50 students from our university and also international tourists to Dublin. And what we really found is that it wasn't stable enough back then. So the GPS wasn't stable. So whenever you wanted to scan something, it was a couple of meters off. So the experience wasn't really great. The markers were not stable back then. So just the devices were not capable of delivering compelling AR cases. So yeah, it was a bit too early to test AR back then. Then in 2014, Google Glass appeared in the US and we were able to meet a developer in San Francisco. And we decided, let's test it in the UK as well. And Manchester Art Gallery was really interested to be the first of its kind in the UK to test such an application. So what we did is we created a personalized tour around the art gallery. So whenever you scanned a painting, information appeared, you were able to get a recommended tour based on your interest, the paintings you viewed already. And it was really good because compared to an audio guide, as we heard before, you know, it was unobtrusive. You didn't have to carry anything around. It was just in front of your eyes. It was really great. And people couldn't hear what you were listening to because of the bone conducting speakers. So actually it was a really good case study. The problem with Google Glass was it was always overheating. So after trying it for 10 minutes or so, you know, we had to turn it off, start again. So the device wasn't ready yet. Biggest problems also, what we found was the art gallery didn't want to invest too many resources, so they didn't provide us with a curator. We had to make up all the content and, you know, find it ourselves. So yes, it was a nice experience for them, but it wasn't the most in-depth art gallery experience. And after we got a lot of media attention, actually the art gallery came to us and said, oh shame, we should have invested some more time in your project. and made it really compelling and good. And there was a social acceptability element. So people, they felt comfortable walking around the art gallery using this device, but they felt it's not really socially acceptable what other people are thinking about them. And I think that's also why Google Glass failed, because of all these problems. You know, people didn't feel comfortable filming things and taking pictures of that. And that's really pretty much what our research showed. Then we went down to Cornwall and we worked with the UNESCO World Heritage Site to see, we were really much interested in how AR and VR can be used to for tourism sustainability purposes. So when you consider when you have a cultural heritage site, you're not allowed to put signage everywhere, especially outdoor site. So augmented reality could be used in order to replace to create digital signage. And for the virtual reality part, we really wanted to see how we can make inaccessible sites accessible, which was really good, especially if you think from the disability angle, that you can provide experience which people are not normally able to have. You simply recreate them, and this was really good. And I think this quote is really powerful: do things that can only be done in VR, not the thing that can also be done in VR. So we really try to create experiences that normally wouldn't be available. And this was a really, really powerful project, and especially elder people. You normally don't expect them to use virtual reality, but especially elder people enjoyed, you know, going down a mining shaft and experiencing that, and it was really successful. In Manchester, we went to the Jewish Museum, and they have a problem because every school in Manchester needs to go to that museum as part of their school curriculum. But the experience was based on volunteers, you know, who told their experiences and their stories, and they were afraid that they might lose these kind of volunteers over time. So they wanted to capture all those experiences in an application. So what we created was kind of a treasure hunt. So we had different hotspots around the museum, and whenever school children scanned certain objects, you know, they had to find them, information appeared. At the end, we created a quiz to test if they actually had the experience. And this pilot actually was used in order to secure future investments for exhibition design. So this one was a really interesting study of how AR can be used to make an experience more interactive and capture memories and experiences. And that's a video. Let's see. Is it working?
The museum's been open since 1984. It's housed in a former synagogue, and we tell the history of the Jewish community in Manchester. We really wanted to see how to make this building come to life.
We used about 12 to 13 hotspots throughout the museum, and we tried a number of varied media types or actions. Some of the things were avatars, where you would see an avatar that is a digital person explaining the particular item or element that you were looking at. Some of the other things were simple audio recordings, and sometimes we found that actually the best thing would be a very minimalistic picture or description of what it is.
We had a number of interviews and focus group using the school children, and they said it is one of the innovative, exciting kind of a technology which they never experienced before. So we have a number of evidence from school children that it's really kind of fascinating.
So what the app allowed users to do is very clearly choose what they wanted to do. It wasn't a prescribed door, and all features were optional, and we found that the more mature market tended to look at the app and just go straight for the hotspots and facts, as well as the navigation around the museum, whereas the children interacted much more with the, so if you want to call them, gamified elements, the 2D avatars, the 3D avatars, as well as the audio recordings, and actually made it a game to see who could finish all the hotspots first and then answer the quiz questions.
The team at ONU wanted to explore the use of the app in historic space. We wanted to explore how augmented reality could work within this building in a larger project. So the two worlds really came together.
We see augmented reality as a huge opportunity for this kind of storytelling, enhancing customer experiences, visitor experiences, as well as looking at, well, does it actually help the learning process in art galleries, museums, or other spaces.
I can see the good potential in the future.
Just what I wanted really to reiterate is this project was so successful because the museum was really involved. So when you have the organization, everyone is involved, really invested in that project. You've got curators, you've got the manager, and everyone really wants to achieve a great application. Then it can be a success. Just quickly, then we developed an application for the Museum of Science and Industry. And there we really wanted to test the marketing potential of virtual reality. So how we created an application for another museum, and we tested it in a museum in Manchester. And we wanted to see, does it entice people to visit another museum? And the answer was yes. I think about 75% said, because of the application, we are interested in visiting Cornwall and going to the museum. So this was really interesting from the marketing perspective. And then all of this is great, but we had to think about, you know, how can income be generated? So we worked together with Barclays and created a basic application. Whenever you could scan something, you had the option, in this case, to donate money to a good cause. But the idea for museums was whenever you see an artifact or a poster or something, you would be able to buy something from the souvenir shop, to purchase something, I don't know, from the restaurant or something, just how you can link augmented reality directly to the museum experience and purchasing items.
So since up to 2016, we do the more like indoor AR project, but 2016, there's a European City of Science Festival. So it means all the scientists from Europe, they came to Manchester. And it's a big festival, okay? So this is one of the first kind of project we get involved in, is open door, not indoor, but in the city context, a smart city, smart tourism context, can AR and VR can be used? That was the main question. So we work with a number of different organizations, like Marketing Manchester or University and Gallery, all different people, and also US software company called Spark Compass, which provide a smart city platform. Okay, so those are the main stakeholders who joined this project, and also Samsung actually sponsored this project as well. So what we did was a kind of a develop an augmented reality application and using the idea of a Pokemon Go. So there are many different interesting attraction. Okay. In the Manchester city area, especially linked to science and scientists. So using idea of a treasure hunter, we try to bring all the Manchester hidden story, science history, and bring to life, okay? So we use 150 or 200 beacons around the city, and those are the main points where the science, either plaque or statue of a science scientist, information's there. So when people are using an app and approach that point, then they could get additional information about science and scientists. So there are some other kind of images about projects. So we use the beacons, okay? And we use the idea of Pokemon Go as well. And also about more than 3,000 people in one of the shopping area, they tried virtual reality as well. And another project is also is outdoor project. It's Lake District is one of the most popular destination in the UK. So they want to use this virtual reality to, number one, to attract more visitors. But at the same time, 2016 was they actually applying for UNESCO World Heritage status. So as part of their UNESCO Heritage Campaign, project was designed, developed, and we were part of the project team. And then what happened was using drone and took the 360 video film over the Lake District. And around, in summer 2016, about 2,500 people tried, and had a, we initial outcome was those people who tried virtual reality, they have a more intention to visit this Lake District National Park. So I think we have many booths here. rather than giving the brochure or, you know, conventional materials, maybe virtual reality might like motivate people to visit actual destination. Okay, in our research shows that yes, there is still clearly is working. Okay, for people to visit a destination. So there's a number of different partners working on this project. These are some of the images of the various different age groups. They try this virtual reality in Lake District. Okay? And the Box Project?
Yeah, I think I just skipped the video. So we involved in the Box Project. It's the multi-sensory box experience in Finland. And the idea is that you create different sensors. So you can adjust the smell, you can adjust the sound, the landscape around, and we test how it affects the dining experience. For instance, when we do a research, did it taste better or worse when you eat ice cream in the cold in the mountains, or it doesn't make a difference if it's a beach or very warm. So that's the kind of experience we are testing in this multisensory experience with Haga Helia University and our PhD student. And these are the couple of projects we're doing at the moment. So we moved away a bit from tourism, focusing a bit on health at the moment, and working on educational projects, just because there are so many interesting use cases as well. So what are main considerations? I think I really mentioned it's so important to have a curator. Content sourcing. I think it's so important to have the right content, because you can have really great kit, a VR kit, an AR kit. If you don't have the right content, nobody wants to use it. You have to have the appropriate hardware. Some of the VR kits available, they need to be useful for tourists. So the best ones are the one tethered to the computer. However, you know, probably for tourism, you want to have not as powerful devices that can be used everywhere. Accuracy is very important, so the content, GPS and marker-based content, needs to be triggered when you want it. You have to have the right technology for the right purposes, so virtual reality often works before and after an experience, whereas augmented reality during experiences in tourism. Interaction is key, and it's all about the enhancement of tourism experiences. Never try to replace it, always think about enhancing it. And Timothy is wrapping it up now.
Okay, so this is what I see. Since 2013, with a number of projects, and then we saw there are lots of opportunities using this AR and VR, especially because it can increase, enhance experience. So the technology which I mentioned in the early in my presentation, there are number. If you combine those technologies, there are lots of opportunities in our tourism, leisure, and hospitality industry. For example, AR, VR, and 3D printing can work together as a museum. So you have a great experience, and 3D printing can be used to produce the souvenir based on your experience, rather than selling any souvenir. So that is some of the example. And AR and IoT and big data can work together, especially the Walt Disney. They are going to use AR using the IoT technology, right? And AR, IoT can work together as a smart tourism in urban heritage tourism context is going to work. And AI can work together with virtual reality, augmented reality for training purpose. It is happening in other industry already, okay? And a robot and AI can work together in hotel, right? And drone can be used for the outdoor tourism experience like Lake District National Park. Now, but there are some challenges for tourism when you are using this sort of technology. First of all, you know, very basic kind of challenges, roaming, Wi-Fi, associated cost. Cost is number one. So tourists, if cost involved, they're not going to use any technology, which means they're not going to be access this sort of immersive experience. And meaningful content is key as well. Relevant content is so important. And also, you know, as a company, you need the right people, skills, resources. That is another challenge. And also, pace of development changes. Okay? whether our tourism industry, you know, can we cope with that development, or are we left behind? You know, there are some lots of questions, and also find the right solution to solve the problems and enhance experience. I don't believe that AR and VR will solve all the tourism problem. No, no. Only it is working in certain, you know, context. It's really powerful, but not working every single situation. So we need to find the right content, right context, and right technology. That's so important. And also, the harmony between tech and the people, life experience is so important, because tourism, you don't want to use technology all the time, but how technology can be used additional, enhance your experience. So I think this is really important in the digital age, and especially technology and human being, there is very different. Technology normally definitely fast, whereas human being is slow. Sometimes we want to be using fast technology to get information, but we want a very slow relaxation. That's tourism. That's a holiday, isn't it? Technology is sometimes big, human being is small. Technology represents straight, everything man-made is straight, but anything created by nature is all curves. You know, if you look at human body, there's no straight thing, okay? So how are you gonna harmonize, combine this urban, rural, new and old? And technology normally look at economic prosperity, whereas a human being is a more quality of life. So I think it's really, really important to have these two different angles and combine together, okay? So slow philosophy is really important to control fast technology, especially if you want to use AR, VR technology in our industry, okay? So this is my last slide. So really, we need to go for the human-centered, but need to consider AI and IoT, big data, and 5G-powered immersive tourism services. So, you know, without data, without relevant content, you know, what you experience is through the AR and VR, sometimes very pointless, meaningless. So this smart technology, data-driven tech, and intelligent tech can be used for the much more rich, immersive experience. And especially the 5G will be trialed, and it's first in Korea and many countries in Europe. So 5G will solve a lot of technical problems. What we have when we are using 4G, there are lots of limitations, but 5G will solve lots of technical problems as well. But we shouldn't forget that why we are using this technology, okay, is for the quality of life and well-being and happiness. So as long as we have this like a philosophy, okay, if technology can be used for better quality of life, better happiness during our holiday, I think that will be very powerful, and there are lots of opportunities and chances our tourism industry can embrace this sort of technology. Okay, so I think last message will be AR, VR, and other emerging tech. We shouldn't look at AR, VR technology, because VR, one try once, wow, second trial, and third, same information. You know, it doesn't mean, you know, you don't want to try again. So you need to work AR, VR technology with other emerging techs, and that will transform our future in our industry as well. So I think as an industry, I think tourism compared to other industries like healthcare, manufacturing, I think it's still left behind, but we should keep an eye on all this technological development, and we need to use right technology in right context for right purpose. I think that is the key for future success in tourism industry. I think that's it. So thank you. Thank you for your listening our presentation. Okay.
Thank you, Timothy. Thank you, Mandy, for your great presentation.